Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Unplugged Woodworkers podcast. So, I've actually, as you might know, I haven't done a podcast in maybe 2 months, something like that now. It's just been nice just to have a little bit of time off from it. Been enjoying the beautiful weather we've been having. So, being out on my bike a lot, just had a bit of a chill out, kind of, you know, recharge my batteries and stuff. Even wood wise, or woodworking wise rather, I haven't done a great deal, to be honest. The last few days I have, I don't know, I kind of stepped away from it a little bit. I think sometimes it's good to step away from things a little bit. But things have kind of reignited. I was actually responding to a comment the other day on Instagram, and there was a lady telling us about she was in a local art exhibition, and there was a guy there that was selling bookcases. Was it bookcases? I think it might have been bookcases, something like that. And she basically said, and to be honest, it's the same trail of mine and same trail of thought in my mind as well. She basically said she had to stop herself from saying, like, I think she said the price of these, whatever it was like £1,500. So, like, that's like a grand and a half. and she basically had to stop herself from saying, where's the dovetails, where's the mortise and tenon joints? Like, obviously it didn't have any. It was put together with dowel, apparently. And, you know, she was basically saying, for that sort of money, I want dovetails and I want mortise and tenon joints. And obviously she didn't buy it. She was, you know, just passing her eyes over the piece. But after hearing that, it kind of made us want to start selling furniture again, because I haven't actually pursued it for a little while. I was still doing bits and bobs of it. Actually, like, when I went back to my full-time job after the pandemic carry on and whatnot. But I kind of stepped away from it, and I've been doing my own stuff. But I kind of feel like pursuing it again, so maybe I will, maybe I won't. So I have kind of been messing around with the ongoing table, as it's turned out, with the spalted beach, the table of doom, as I've started calling it. It's been, how to put this, it's been challenging. It's so fragile. Ironically, today, I was out in the back garden today, and my mum come round with my niece. We're sitting in the back garden. Obviously, my neighbours, they were out in the back garden. They're an old couple as well. And it was funny, my next door neighbour, she was saying, oh, what you're building, you know. She was talking to my mum, because she knows my mum as well. You know, oh, I'm still making this table, I've been making it forever. I was like, it's so fragile, you know. It's like, I kind of do a bit and then I move away from it, you know, and I'm obviously explaining this to her. and as I was explaining this, I kid you not, literally 2 minutes later, I snapped one of the pins off. You couldn't write it, honestly, you could not write it. As I was saying in one of the posts, what I posted a couple of days ago on Instagram, Every time I touch it, I damage something on it. It's so fragile. The spalted beach, don't get us wrong, when it's done and the finish is on it, it's going to look absolutely amazing. Visually, it's going to look absolutely amazing. But I'm gonna be so glad when the glue up's done. I am kind of hoping to have that glued up tomorrow. I see. I'm hoping. I have got things to do. I did actually end up splitting one of the two sides. One side's actually oak because I didn't have enough beach. It wasn't long enough. So I've actually got a basic L shape. And I decided to do away with the two square blanks that I was going to use for legs and just use some oak. It's a bit of a nice contrast as well because I've actually got rails in it. I have actually added rails. I spent the day fitting the last of rails and put the whole thing together. it was an absolute nightmare to put it together as well because obviously I've got the two rails, they're through mortise and tenon joints, so there's two, so that's like four per rail. So basically got that together and put the top on, you know, and that doesn't sound, you know, it doesn't sound too bad, but when you consider I've got Japanese style dovetails at this end and I've got, you could actually see the word Japanese style here finger joints because in the centre it's 90 degrees and it just slopes off to 70 degrees this way and slopes off to 70 degrees that way. So it's kind of a bit of a fan effect. It sounds better than it actually looks because I was actually a little bit disappointed. I think I should have probably put a little bit more of a bit more of an angle on them. But, you know, I suppose it shouldn't look too bad once, you know, again, once the finish is on, everything's playing down and sanded down and whatnot, it shouldn't look too bad. But, as I said, there's a big split down one of the sides, the legs. It's actually, they are technically legs. So there's a bit of a split there, so I was just going to epoxy it, it's such a faff on to epoxy. Going to have to go out, get the epoxy. I mean, like epoxy is not cheap as well, especially if you're doing a lot of it. Even just filling some like a crack, I think the crack itself is only maybe what, three millimeters, something like that, 3 millimeters. Now obviously I think it goes down maybe, yeah, I don't know, maybe 300 millimeters, and then it starts tapering off obviously to nothing, but there's not a lot at the bottom that's holding it, so that needs to be addressed. So I was thinking about actually putting some bow ties in it, possibly. I did actually think about, my first initial thing with that was to actually just put some back supports or inside supports. So basically just, just an oak rail. I was just going to round it off, round the edges off, you know, make it all nice and slender. I did actually think about, you know, making some secret dovetails, fitting it, you know, basically where you would slot it in and then, you know, push it to the left or to the right or roll, I hit it with a mallet and that would lock everything in. But just with the way the spalted beach is, and obviously because of the thickness of the material, I think it's less than an inch. So the trouble I've had with the material being so fragile, I've really stepped away from that. It would be a really cool joint to do, and I do want to do that in the future. But as I said, with the way it is, I don't really want to do that. So most likely, I'm just going to use some screws to fix that into position. Obviously, just elongate the holes themselves. So, for anyone that doesn't know this, basically, if you are going to be using screws, a good example of this, and I've done this in the past, is let's just say you're building a dovetail blanket chest, and obviously you're putting the top on, the top gets hinged. So the problem with that is obviously it can cup. So there's a couple of ways you can do this. Obviously you can do something with the joint I've just said, or you can put breadboard ends on it, or you can do what I've said. So basically what you'll do, you'll drill your hole, but instead of leaving your hole as is, you'll actually move your drill to the left and right. So basically you're creating the hole that you've just drilled, you're actually creating a left and a right, what's the right word, a canal. I wouldn't actually say it's a canal, but it's probably the best word I can like get to describe it. So basically when the screws are in and when the wood moves, and the wood will move, the screws are actually able to move with the top itself. So obviously you've got the width of the top, or the width of the board. So basically that's going to shrink left and right. And obviously you've got the rail and you've got the end grain going this way. So the rail's not going to move this way. So you have to allow it. I have done this in the past, and I have had a few people say, you know, you shouldn't really do it, and are you not worried? Or I have had people say, are you not worried about it? And obviously I have explained this, but I've done this time and time again, never had no issues with it. So I think I'm going to do that, and I'm probably still going to do the bow tie. I was actually thinking about the bow tie just a little bit earlier, because I haven't actually seen anyone do it by hand. Every time I've seen someone like add bow ties to a piece, the first thing that I've seen is they use a bandsaw, usually with a jig, or I have seen it done with a table saw as well. And they basically cut out the bow.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Bow ties. That's standard. I've never ever seen anyone cut it out with a handsaw, which obviously I'm going to do. And then it's the same with the middle, actually, you know, recessing it. So the way I've seen it done, people have pretty much used a router, you know, just like a small router, or even a Dremel, and pretty much, you know, got really, really close and then just chiseled it out. So obviously I'm not going to be doing that. So I think obviously for the bow ties, I'm just going to use my Japanese saw. Not going to be a problem. I'm quite happy cutting them by hand. I'm quite confident, you know, I ain't going to have a problem with that. I think with the bow ties, I was maybe thinking about drilling some holes, basically get a drill bit, you know, just put a bit of tape on it just so I know where I'm going with my depth, you know, and pretty much just, you know, when it's, you know, get X amount of holes and it's, and when I can't do any more, I'm just going to obviously chisel down and then use me router plane, I think. I did have a smaller tooth or a smaller blade roller for me router plane. I think I've also got like a little mini one somewhere. I say a mini one, it's not really a mini one, it's a, just a smaller, I don't know if it's a Veritas, it might be a Veritas thing. To be honest, I've never used it. I bought it and I've never used it. there's actually a few tools like that I've bought and I've never used, but that was like back in the day when I had like a tool addiction, you know. It's like, you know, kind of going to an AA, sort of like, you know, my name's Dave, I've got an addiction. Kind of with the tools, but I did calm right down with my tools, so, but as I said, it's there and I haven't used it, so I think that's probably the route I'm going to go with that. I don't actually know how many I'm going to add. As I said, it would be nice tomorrow to get it all done and dusted, but obviously I've got to make the bow ties, obviously recess them, get them glued in, and then obviously I've got to make the rails that I'm going to screw into position. So obviously they're going to have to be shaped as well, because I want them. They're going to be on display, obviously, when you're looking inside of the table, which people will and I will myself, you're going to see them. So I want them all looking nice. I'm most likely going to dowel them as well, obviously dowel the where the screws are going. I think it's just going to look better visually. So again, I've got to make the dowel, making it by hand as well, so that's going to take a bit of time. Then I've got wedges to make on top of it. It's not going to take us a great deal of time to make wedges, but again, it does take time. But yeah, I need to make a few wedges for 8. So I've got like eight mortars and tenons, you know, joints basically to wedge up. So I do need to make them. I've also got the bottom to shape as well. So I don't really know what I'm going to do with the bottom. I don't know whether to, when I say a bottom, I actually mean the bottom where it's going to make contact with the floor. So obviously at the moment it's just square. And if the floor is uneven, and my kitchen floor is uneven, it's going to be liable to rock because it's straight. So if there's a bit of a hump in the floor, it's just going to rock. So obviously I'm going to have to remove some material from the middle of the end grain. So I didn't know what to do. I didn't know whether just to do a simple arch. I don't know whether to start at either end and take it up like a bit of a quadrant sort of thing, but I'm not sure if that'll look right. Basically kind of come up, you know, maybe coming from either side 3 inches, come up maybe an inch or 2 inches, and then do a bit of an arch, a very slight arch though. Or there's the more traditional stuff, you know, that's got like a couple of quadrants, like I can't quite remember the name of it. Obviously there's like a correct name for it, but that's more seen on like stuff. I think if you look at some of Chris Schwartz's stuff, like that's more like traditional. You'll probably see what I'm talking about. Like there, it's basically a little. It's kind of a. You'll have like a quadrant, and then that quadrant actually comes back on itself. That's probably the best way I can describe it for the people that are listening to this anyway. But yeah, I've got that to do. So that was another thing. I don't know whether to basically get the thing together, get it glued together, and then just shape the legs when, you know, the whole thing's glued together. Because as it stands, the more time I put it together, or the more time the components are separated, the more I just seem to be damaging it. It's like, it's absolutely ridiculous. I'm not even exaggerating the amount of time I can seriously, I can pick a piece up and I can move it, and I've done it about 3 times now. I've literally picked a piece up and I've moved it, and I'm like, that's just come off, that's just fell off. How, you know? And then you're going through in your hand, how the hell have I managed to damage that? I've literally picked it up, moved it from A to B, but that's kind of what's happening. On the Japanese section, the Japanese dovetail section, specifically the pins, I think up to now, I think it's five of the smaller triangle pieces I've literally just snapped off altogether. So I have basically super glued them back on. The super glue is doing an incredible job. But I don't particularly want to snap anymore. As I said, I think what's going to be best, for me and for the whole table itself, is just to get the thing glued up. Once it's glued up and once it's in a solid position, you know, and the glues took hold, obviously that's just going to be so much better. I did actually contemplate doing this, basically getting it glued together and then putting the bow ties in, but obviously that's just going to be really awkward because of the length of it, and I would have to have it on its end, and it's just going to cause problems. So I'm going to, the thing I'm going to have to do with that is because the crack is there, and the reason the crack's there, I think obviously it's basically gotten bigger, and then I think it's just cracked, and then with me putting the joint together and taking the joint apart, obviously it's just come really loose. So there's basically only the bottom portion, and the rest of it's really floppy, and so I think that's just basically the wood taking on moisture, and, you know, wood moves whatever it's doing, and I think that's the problem. So yeah, It actually happened, and I says, "Oh, nightmare!" I says, "What shall I do?" And I says, "I know what I'll do. I'll put some glue in it, and I'll just clamp it together." I did actually try clamping it together first without any glue, and it closed the crack up a little bit. And I thought, it's not too bad, you know. It looks like it's got enough. So what I ended up doing, I ended up using some liquid high glue. I don't know why I use liquid high glue, because I never use liquid high glue. I have actually got some there, but I never use it. But anyway, I'm glad I did. So I did actually put it in, clamping it together, and it totally went over my head. It was totally oblivious that I didn't think about, when I'm gluing it together, I'm compressing it. And if there's dovetails or roller pins at the top, I'm actually, because I'm minimizing the gap, I'm actually moving all of the dovetails. So yeah, I kind of done that, glued it, it dried, and I tried to put the thing back together again, and I was like, why is this not fitting? Obviously, because I've compressed it, glued it, and obviously all of the pins are now out of line with the top, so I had to reverse that. That made it worse. So yeah, I haven't had much luck with this with this table. I'm going to be so glad when it's finished. As I said, it would be absolutely awesome if I could just get it glued up like tomorrow. Even if I've got to, you know, still shape the legs and everything, I would be so, so happy if that happened tomorrow. It's going to be a hitty-missy. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. It depends kind of, you know, basically how my day goes and my workflow and everything. But it would be super great if I got that, you know, done and dusted out of the way. So I've actually jumped the gun a little bit today. I kind of got into that. I did actually want to highlight something I seen on Instagram. You could kind of say that they want to impress me sort of thing. But I've kind of done this back to front today.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
But I did actually come across this, and this is a Japanese joint. I'll put it on the screen for those of you that are watching. I don't actually know the name of this joint. I did have a look before, and I tried to pronounce it, and for the life of us, I don't know what it is. I've got real trouble in pronouncing Japanese name, like anything Japanese. I've got terrible problems pronouncing them. To be honest, I think that's just for all languages, including English, actually. But this joint, for anyone that's been woodworking any amount of time and they're familiar with Japanese joints, they'll probably know this joint. And for those of you that are listening, this is one of those joints where it kind of looks like it's got an arrow, and it basically fits end grain to end grain. So if you kind of imagine you've got like an arrow pointing up, that's the best way I can describe it. And the way this slots together, this kind of slots together the same way the impossible dovetail slides together. It's like slides together on the diagonal. And the woman who done it, she's done an absolutely awesome job. It's such a tight fit, like a ridiculously tight fit. When she's like putting it together, you can hear it. It's like squeaking, you know. So she's done a really, really good job of putting it together. I'd really love to actually do that sort of joints. Japanese joints in general. The problem that I have with these Japanese joints, or any joint for that matter, is that I don't like doing a joint if I'm not going to use it, if it hasn't got no practical use. It's like, I've talked about this many times when people are practicing dovetails. It's like, and it does box my head in a little bit, if I'm honest. They'll make the dovetail, and then they'll cut the corner, and then they'll just put it aside. I don't really see the point in that, and I've said this like maybe a dozen times now. For me, obviously, this is just my preference, you know, and this is what I have done in the past. When I first started cutting dovetails, I was just making little boxes, and putting screws in them. I've still got them somewhere. I'll have to dig them out and you know, and show people to kind of what my first dovetails were like, because they weren't pretty, you know, but the boxes themselves are still together. The dovetails are terrible, but, you know, they served a purpose. And that's my whole thing with any sort of joint. Like, if I'm going to cut a joint, I'd love to, you know, I'd love for it to be used, sort of thing. So, unfortunately, a lot of these Japanese, for me at least, a lot of these Japanese joints, I'm never gonna like have the opportunity to use them, because I think a lot of these joints are like kind of for structural or that's probably not the right word to use. A lot of these joints were used in construction. That's probably a better way to put it. You know, in the temples and obviously in houses. There's actually a guy I follow on Instagram. I want to say Dylan. I cannot think of his second name, but as far as I'm aware, Dylan goes around and he basically, or at least the last year or maybe the last 2 years, he's been going around and he's been like disassembling houses. Old Japanese houses, and these houses are kind of like all traditional, like put together with joints, and it's really interesting when he takes them apart. Obviously he's taking the whole house apart, and the structural frame of the house is like built with wood, and some of the joints, man, are absolutely phenomenal. And some of the joints he's actually got to replace, or some of the timber he's got to replace, you know, due to, you know, rot, things like that. So a lot of those joints were built for things like that, or designed for that. Now this is just an educated guess because I'm no expert on Japanese joints or anything like that, but that's where I tend to see them. I don't tend to see them like kind of, you know, in furniture per se, but there's some very cool joints. I may have to bite the bullet, and, you know, kind of get over that thing and just do the joint, because I don't think I'm going to have the opportunity to do that sort of joint unless I just say, you know, kind of do it. I mean, it would be nice, like kind of, if I'd done like a bit of a feature wall, you know, I could like get some shelving and maybe do these joints and then like kind of put them on display. That would, you know, instead of like ornaments. Do you think that'd be weird? Maybe it would, maybe it wouldn't. But yeah, I'll leave a link in the description, so, you know, go and check her out. The craftswoman, I think she's like a Danish lady, and she's currently studying in Japan, anyway. So go and check her out if you want to check her out. I'll leave a link in the description. I did actually forget to mention that I done a video, and this was the basic use of a Ryobi saw. So I kind of... It was more for tracking the line. It did raise a few questions. It was received quite well, actually. So I think I am going to do some follow-up videos. So basically in the video, I'm talking about like tracking the line, and this is the same principle. Well, are you ripping a piece of wood, or you are cross-cutting a piece of wood? So basically in the video, what I was stating is that a lot of people, when they first start using a Ryobi saw, the majority of people, not everybody, but the majority of people are using a tall bench. And when they're using a tall bench and they're using a Ryobi saw, or even a Western saw for that matter, when they're cutting... And I do see this in a lot of videos, on Instagram and whatever else. They're using the Ryobi saw, or Ryoba saw. I'm terrible with the names, but the Ryobi, the Japanese saw, the one with the two teeth on either side of it. They're using it at 90 degrees. And yeah, you can use it at 90 degrees, and I do use it at 90 degrees myself, but when you're actually tracking the line, using it at 90 degrees is no good. You will get away with this a certain distance, you know, let's just say we're ripping. For the example in the video, I think I got down like 3 inches, so I followed my line down, got down 3 inches. As soon as I hit that third inch, I started veering off. And I basically just kind of demonstrate in the video that when you're using it at 90 degrees, you've got the blade in the wood, and you kind of track your line because there's no give in the saw. So obviously I did show you know, basically how I do it and talk you through how I do it. But basically, if you've got to drop the angle, you cannot have it at 90 degrees, especially if you're doing like a long cut. I also personally think, and I do recommend, if your back's fine and you have got a low bench, some sort of low bench, whether it be a saw bench or a Roman work bench, whatever, or even a couple of saw horses that are low, to use them and cut it like in a parallel plane rather than a vertical plane, horizontal rather than the vertical. So what this is going to do, this is going to, especially obviously if you're kneeling on it or on top of it, quite literally, it's going to force you to have more of a, you know, anywhere from 45 to say 25 degree angle. And this is actually perfect for tracking your line. Again, as I demonstrate, if you are using a Ryobi saw, check the video out. It's very, very basic. I don't go like into depth too much. Although the next video I might delve a little bit more into it. But basically, because you're using it, in the horizontal position, you're able to actually move the saw to the left and to the right. So if you can imagine that the saw is actually in the workpiece and you're going to rip it, because it's at 25 degrees, let's just say for argument's sake, and you're holding the handle, you're actually able to, you know, manipulate the saw to the left and to the right. And when you can manipulate the saw to the left and right, you're able to track your line. And that's one of the big things that I see, and obviously one of the things I do get questions with from time to time. Ironically, I did actually get another question on top of that question, and that's, I'm pretty much going to add that to the next video, but somebody asked, they were basically saying, I can track my line like per se, so, but what I'm finding is that on the opposite side, just say the back end of the board, it's actually, you know, twisting, so you're skewing, so you might start off at, say, you know, at the top of the board where the end grain is, you might start off at 90 degrees there, but by the time the guy was getting down to the other end, he's getting like twists and buckles in it. So I did actually kind of try to describe a little bit about that. But I think it is a good thing, because if I remember correctly, I did actually struggle with this for a while. So what I would advise anyone that's watching this now and they have got that problem, first things first, you will never, ever, ever eliminate it 100%, but you can minimise it quite a lot. So basically, my advice to the guy, which I'm actually going to shoot the video and address that for him, but my advice is that if you are actually going to rip, again, 110%, I would, again, if your back's okay and your knees are okay, use a low bench. And because you're using a low bench, and actually just kneel on the board, even if it's just one. So what I would recommend is that where the handle is, try and get it into the center of your solar plexus. Don't be over the top of the saw. So, you know, don't like kind of have the saw where it's like, you know, kind of like where the saw cut itself is in line with, say, your nose or your mouth. Bring yourself back so your arms are reached out in front of you. Also, when you're doing this, there's still people that kind of use a saw like how you would use a gentleman's saw. It's not designed to do that, and it's in the body mechanics is all wrong. So if you can imagine that you're on top of a board, yeah, let's just say on your knees, and you're holding your saw. So how I hold my saw, I'll have me left in front and me right hand behind. I have me thumbs on top. And this is just better. It's not suited to have your fingers on top. Your first finger on top is just not suited for that. So it's just the body mechanics is all wrong. You know, and I still see people that will use a saw, you know, with the first finger on top, and I'll go out on a limb and say, occasionally you might have use or occasionally you might need to do that, but I think maybe about 99% of the time you want to have your thumbs on top. It's, as I said, it's just like body mechanically it's just better, because if you can imagine if you've got your first finger on top of it, even if you're just using one, When you're doing it, your elbow wants to flare out to the side instead of being stuck into the, like, more to your rib cage. So if you can imagine, let's just say we're playing a tug of war. A tug of war, how you would have the rope, you would be holding the rope the same way you would be holding the Ryobi, so minus having your thumbs out, because obviously you might damage your thumbs, you might break your thumbs, but your hand position is going to be the same. It's just more, it's more biomechanically, what's the word I'm looking for, just more efficient for you to have it like that. It's more natural as well. There might be people that will probably disagree with this, but you know, it is what it is. You've got more strength when you're pulling, because you're using the bigger muscle, the lats. Whereas if you're using it like that and you're flaring your elbows out to the side, you're using more of the trapezius muscles and the rear deltoids. So the lat's like a bigger muscle and it's a stronger muscle. So it makes more sense to use it like that, and it's more natural. So that would be the first thing. So the next thing would be kind of, he was basically saying that he's getting a skew in it. And I think probably the reason he's getting a skew in it because of his body position. He did say he had tried to change his body mechanics and such. So what I would recommend, and this works quite well, is when start your cut off at the end of the board, make sure that is 90 degrees. So if that's 90 degrees, and start bringing the cut this way. So as I said, have it how I've just explained, have it to the center of your body. So when you're pulling, if you get it somewhere in the region of maybe 25 degrees, what you should find is that because you've got it at such a shallow angle, the saw blade will actually track itself with the curve you made at the start. So if the curve at the start is like 90 degrees and you're just following it down, you know, it shouldn't be too bad. I would imagine you'll see if you should, the guy should see a fast improvement, and anyone else that's struggling with this should see a fast improvement. So, kind of a better way to describe this, or all that, to show people that are watching. So, for those of you that are listening, obviously, this is for the guys that are here watching. So, if you're using the saw, let's just say at 45 degrees. So, again, for those of you that are watching, you'll be able to see I'm holding the book and a pencil. So that's 45 degrees. The problem with this is, especially if you're not lined, if your body's not lined up properly, you're able to go to the left and right, which is obviously going to impact the back end of the saw. So when you've actually got it somewhere to the region of like maybe like 25 degrees, 30 degrees, somewhere there, you're actually using the curve as a guide, and you're able to eye it down. Obviously, don't get us wrong, this comes with practice. Obviously, the more you use it, the more you practice it. This is the same with everything, the more you practice with stuff, but at least if you've got, like, you know, like a step in the right direction, it should speed the process up. And I think unfortunately there's a lot of people that have, like, you know, encountered problems like this problem or the original problem, which is why I shot the first video, was basically just the tracking at the front. It never actually occurred to us to address the tracking at the back, but as I said, I'm going to do that in the next video. I'm actually going to address cutting angles as well. You know, if you cut an angle in a 2x4, a steep angle, I don't know, maybe 80 degrees from the face, or all that, if we've got the face here, just like 10 degrees from the face, sort of, you will find that the saw will wind on. That's to do with basically the grain, or all other saw riding on the grain. So I'm going to address that as well, because you can actually get quite a clean cut if you kind of understand what's happening with the grain. So I'm going to address that, and I'm probably going to do a third video, and that's going to be it's going to be a quick video, but it's probably going to be one of the better ones, I would have thought. And I'm going to basically show how to cut curves and circle. I don't know if I'm actually going to be able to cut a circle, because I don't know if I've got anything like big enough to cut a circle with, because there is some limitations to cutting a circle with a Japanese saw. I have actually got some of that spalted beech left. I don't know whether I'm going to be able to cut a circle out with that, because I did actually think to myself I was just going to make, you know, just a nice little round side table or something with it. But if I think it's big enough, the diameter is big enough for us, you know, to cut it out with a Ryobi, so I'm probably going to do that, just to demonstrate it. Obviously go over the hows and whys and, you know, whatever else. But yeah, so bit of a shorter one today, guys. Obviously, I was actually going to talk about some of the furniture in my house. I was, you know, going to go around and take a lot of pictures and, you know, go over, you know, how the joints are holding up and stuff, and kind of what you can expect. You know, if you're making furniture, if anyone ever wonders, oh, I wonder how, you know, how this would react or that would react. So I was actually going to go around the house with the furniture I've made and, you know, take a load of pictures, but I haven't got around to it today, so obviously I've just had a general chit-chat today. So any questions, anything like that, anything you want to see, Video-wise, because obviously I am planning to do a few videos. So furniture build as well. I've got quite a lot of oak out the back, and it's just been lying there for some time. It is actually quite like it's beautifully figured. It's got some cat's paws in it and stuff, so some of it's really nice. Wainy edge as well. Obviously, it doesn't have to be a wainy edge piece of furniture. Obviously, I can cut them straight. But any suggestions for future furniture builds? Any ideas would be good. If you want to, obviously, I'm talking about a video. So if you like a piece of furniture, but obviously it's going to be a video, or I'm going to record it. Leave a comment. So that's going to be it for today, guys. But thank you very much for listening, tuning in, whatever else. And until the next time, I shall see and speak to you guys later.